Hebrews chapter 11, verses 29 to 40. This text reminds us of various groups and individuals that God's word says were commended for their faith. Did you notice that some are named and some are not named? This might remind some of us of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldiers in Arlington National Cemetery, where following the First World War, one unnamed soldier was buried under this inscription: "Here rests in honored glory an American soldier known but to God." And day and night, if you visit Arlington National Cemetery today, you will find a sentry who is guarding this famous memorial. In our text, beginning with Hebrews 11:29, we know that some of those who left Egypt with Moses were anything but shining examples of faith. But they certainly must have had some degree of faith that gave them the courage to follow Moses through those walls of water at the Red Sea. And what else but faith could account for the falling of Jericho's walls? The taking of Jericho was a striking example of the power of faith. Apart from the conviction that God would act, nothing could have appeared more pointless than the behavior of those soldiers day after day, rather than attacking Jericho, simply walking around and around that city multiple times. Arthur read to us about Rahab. Rahab at first would seem to be an unlikely example of faith. She was not even a Jew, but she acted decisively out of her deep convictions. She put her life at risk. She welcomed the Israeli spies, but she did not act in the spirit of a combatant, but she cared for those two spies who were part of God's advance party. Isn't it very significant that a woman from an extremely immoral background could become an example of faith for us? In Hebrews 11:32, we first see a listing of a half dozen of faithful men. Each one of these battled against overwhelming odds so that, humanly speaking, there was little chance that they would come out on top. But their faith was not just a formality. They definitely and faithfully trusted in God even when all the odds seemed to be stacked against them. I think these people are worthy examples to us when we face difficult circumstances in our own lives. In Hebrews 11:33, we see the broad results of a believer's faith: material victory, moral success in government, and spiritual reward. Remember, it's very, very important that Daniel never became cat food. In Hebrews 11:34, we probably have a reference to the three Jews that had been cast into the fiery furnace of Babylon, yet emerged unharmed. And those who escaped the edge of the sword, this could refer to the people who emerged unscathed from battle. And the phrase, routed foreign armies, probably refers to Gideon's 300 men who fought at God's direction against vastly superior forces and defeated them. It was God's power that prevailed. God made puny forces strong enough to defeat mighty enemies. I really like Hebrews chapter 11, verses 35 and 36, because we see in these two verses several contrasts. A number of women in Scripture received their dead as living. Sometimes faith worked in another way. It enabled individuals to withstand torture, just like many captured American flyers had to do during years of captivity during the Vietnam War. And the methods of torture mentioned in this case included severe mockery, floggings, chains, and even imprisonment. Hebrews 11:37 talks about a characteristic form of Jewish execution called stoning. But according to tradition, the prophet Isaiah, he wasn't stoned to death. Instead, when he was alive, they took a huge saw and just sawed him in two. And while some believers were delivered from the sword, it was God's purpose for other believers to die by the sword. But they all trusted God, whether they endured a natural death or a violent death. This book tells us that they too would experience a better resurrection. And Hebrews 11:37 also considers the hardships that believers have to endure faithfully in their lives. At times they were roughly clad in simple clothing. They were often without many earthly resources. Often people looked at them and said they were destitute. And we know today in our world, in Africa, in the Middle East, and parts of Asia, too many believers in Christ still are experiencing the misery of persecution and maltreatment. In Hebrews 11:38, we see that in God's eyes, these unnamed people, just like the unknowns in Arlington, these unknown people of faith were worth more than all of the rest of humanity put together, but they lacked all the things that this world values. These people were homeless. These people had to wander. Just like some of our Anabaptist forebears in Switzerland, some of them even had to hide in caves from their persecutors. Hebrews 11:39 reminds us that God never forgets any of His faithful servants. But yet for all the spiritual blessings and privileges God has given them, these named as well as the unnamed heroes of the faith did not receive on this earth what was promised. You see, in Hebrews 11:39, in this verse, it's not a question of the promises, but it's a question of the promise, singular. God has made many promises to His people over the years and kept them. But the ultimate promise, the ultimate blessing, wasn't kept until God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to provide the means of deliverance from the power of sin and the means to obtain an abundant life on this earth and an eternal life in heaven. Hebrews 11, verse 40 says, yes, God's plan has provided something better for His children. We who have taken our lives to Christ have our place in God's plan. Sometimes we tend to think of salvation as just an individual matter, but it is when we experience fellowship with any child of God on this planet that we can have an introduction into the fellowship that we'll eternally enjoy with God's people in heaven. May we always, 24/7, guard and honor the memory of both the named and the unnamed heroes of the faith. And as we transition to the Searfoss Drama Connection presentation, if you take your insert that sing twice, "Yes, Lord, Yes," as a faith commitment. As you're remaining seated, they're going to transition into getting ready for their presentation, and we'll sing twice the insert, "Yes, Lord, Yes."